latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 38463.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Johnny, we're sorry. Won't you come on home? We're worried. Won't you come on? What is wrong in my life? I must get drunk every night. Johnny,
we're back at the races. About 10 minutes into hour two, we'll spend our Monday Gab Fest with Johnny next, Doug O'Neill to follow, Nicole Russo in the Daily Racing Forum as well. Johnny, good morning.
Good morning, Stevie. So many things to discuss this morning.
Well, it's Pennsylvania Derby week. Let's get that in.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited, mostly because I get to see Tina.
Exactly. That's the way I feel every morning.
Yeah. looking forward to Pennsylvania Derby. It's going to be a great race this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's really developed into a spot on the calendar. It didn't used to be that way. They changed the date. They used to run it on Labor Day, I believe, Labor
yep.
Day weekend.
Yep.
And they changed it. They moved it around on the calendar and gave it a little more breathing room from Saratoga and got it a little bit closer to Breeders' Cup. If anyone's interested in going that route, you might have to run once more. But they made it possible for horsemen to do different things, and they've attracted some decent runners in the last couple of years, and it seems to just be getting better and better. It's now... one of those races that's on the radar of the big guys. And, of course, the purse doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and working its way up to grade one status. I mean, the Cotillion had a little bit of the advance party on that front. And, it's a set of moves that really paid off. I mean, at least, and you know, it's funny because Parks has got such a, we'll talk about it later in the week, I'm sure, particularly with Tony, and he addresses it. It's got such a mixed reputation overall, but anybody that's been to Pennsylvania Derby Day will tell you it's, you know, it's big time. It's a tremendous day. They pack them in. They put on a tremendous show. They bring in and, you know, they pay for the broadcasting, the regional broadcasting. They, you know, they bring in, you know, the top talent, Lafitte Pinkai and company, and they make a big effort of it, Johnny. And if they wanted to really pay attention to their racing program, they could elevate it so easily. It's a little bit maddening, and you kind of shake your head that they don't take advantage of the circumstances they're in.
Yeah, well, they don't care about racing much at Parks. And that's a shame. It's a real shame because the reason they have that, I will argue this, the reason that casino came about as rapidly as it did is because of Smarty Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he was on his tear is when the question was coming up, when it was going to hit the ballot, and the politicians were able to get behind it because the people were behind it. And that's one thing I will say for the people in the Philadelphia area, the Delaware Valley, is that they are racing fans. And not just, they're horse players. Their fathers and mothers were horse players. Their grandparents were horse players. It's similar to New York. It's been passed down and other places. I'm not saying that, excuse me, that Philly is a singular example. But it is an example of a place where people went to the track with their parents, maybe not at a young age. See, now this is something else that damaged racing in the Philadelphia area, in the Delaware Valley, Jersey. You know, when I was a kid and my father would go to the track, he could never take me because you had to be, I think, 21, 18 or 21 to get into the racetrack. When I was a boy, a young boy, you had to be like 18 or 21 to get into the track. And there's a whole gap there of people who weren't able to go to the track as youngsters. Now, he'd take me to Brandywine, which was a harness track, because the rules were different there. We'd go at night. I remember going down to Brandywine and watching the harness races and how exciting it was and the colors and the bright lights and the whole thing. But not to the thoroughbred tracks. And Jersey was the same way. Garden State was the same way. You had to be, 16, 18, 21. It was a long way from what I was at the time. So anyway, that is, if you think about that nowadays, you're blocking out a whole generation of potential customers from watching your sport live, which was crazy. But the fans in this area, despite that, or maybe because of it, maybe because they weren't allowed to go, they found an interest in it. But because you remember when Smarty Jones, when he galloped at Park, or maybe it was Philadelphia Park then, when he galloped, he didn't work. He galloped. There were 10,000 people there, estimated 10,000 people. And just the other day, when he came back the parade. The crowd, you know, packed the grandstand. It was a banner day. They love racing. Smarty Jones certainly was a superstar. He was every night the news would begin, and the local news would begin with a report on what Smarty Jones did today. So that was fun. But this is a place where if the owners of parks cared much about racing, yes, I agree with you, it could be. But look, you understand why they don't, because the casinos, the overhead is less, the aggravation's less. You don't have people, all the problems that, all the overhead, all the administrative details of running a racetrack. You put up a couple slot machines, and they're going to out-earn the racetrack. So, I mean, I get it. As a racing guy, it's just sad to see. Why can't you, you know? Now, the other good side about things is that the Pennsylvania Bread Program and the horses,
tremendous.
I mean, the purses are, yes, tremendous. You know what? One of the tops in the country. So that part of it, and the Horseman's Fund, you know, the state was about to, you know, take the money away from the Horseman, and Horseman got together and got it done, and now that money is reserved. You know, it won't be taken away anytime soon. But you know, there are a lot. Those are good things that happen. But then you've got the incredibly high takeout of parks.
Makes no sense.
It frustrates horse players, and I know there are reasons for it. The rebate that they can give big players, and it does this and it does that and all. But they do okay. I mean, it's not like people stop playing parks. It's not like people don't play parks. The other thing is when the purses went up from the slots money, you started to get your New York shippers coming down. You get your second and third strings from New York, and that added depth to the program. And they have decent field sizes. It's just, I don't know. You know, it's just like, it's almost like they only care once in a while of what happens with racing over there. I wish they do, you know, I wish they cared more. That's all.
I hear you. Well, we're looking forward. I love going down. We always have a tremendous day, and then into the Jersey night we go for dinner, the four of us, and Tina and I will be down Friday, late Friday, probably about 7:30. We usually get into Philly.
Is that a restaurant in Jersey?
Yeah.
Is it? I didn't know.
You didn't realize that we cross over. We cross over just over the over the word.
I don't remember showing my passport. That's all.
Soon. Non-solo pasta, which we talk about every year at this time, and other times too, because we've turned Haskin into a convert as well. Haskin goes, and you're liable to see John Service there, and.
It's great.
The former governor of New Jersey still frequents it. So you better get there before he does. If you want to eat anything, there'll be something left. Johnny, you heard me. That was a low blow. Johnny, he's not my.
Get him up,
pal.
Get him up.
No, not necessarily. Listen, when you... When you monopolize the beaches and you close the beaches off. Come on.
I understand why you swung low below the belt. I just don't think you, just get them up.
Yeah, we'll see. You heard me reference, Johnny, you're going to see a visit tomorrow from Marshall Graham, and we're going to talk about the pick five, the biggest opportunity, it seems, I mean, other than jackpot force outs. you know, speaking of which, how much longer is Gulfstream going to hoard that $1 million? They waiting for the cows to come home. When is that coming out for to be pushed? But
isn't that soapbox broken yet?
No, it's not. It isn't, and it's not. I'm sorry. It's not right. It's not right. The more organic carryovers in the games. These pick five carryovers. It is now the au courant best betting opportunity in the game, and the Stronach five, which we said, you know, when a carryover would occur, that was, you know, going to be. I mean, it's a good bet anyway because it's a 12% takeout. It pick five, 50-cent minimum. You know, makes it you know approachable for ticket building. But this was a terrific on Friday. Although they didn't bet as much into it, Johnny, as you would have expected.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's $1. $1.
That's right. That's right. That is $1. That's true. Yeah.
But also, you say, well, why? You know, I agree with you. It didn't seem like it featured almost $100,000 carryover, and the handle wasn't, you know, through the roof, which was a bit surprising. I agree with you, and I tried to think of reasons for that. I don't know that, you know, we've talked about the Friday deal before.
Yeah,
maybe it kind of got lost. Maybe people forgot about it. Maybe people are back from the summer and it's just not top of mind. And perhaps it wasn't promoted enough. I mean, we certainly at ExpressBet do a lot to promote the Stronach 5. The fact that it kicks off at Laurel, it involves Laurel, Gulfstream, Golden Gate. Perhaps since there's no Santa Anita involved in it, maybe it just slips through the cracks at some, you know, in some cases, because this one sure slipped through the cracks. I mean, with that kind of a carryover, you would have thought that people would have rushed to play it. They've been difficult. I will say that. It's been hard to hit. You will get paid if you hit one. It's not like the card is difficult, and then if you hit it, you know, the payoff is not commensurate with the difficulty. But they're difficult, and you've got to have deep pockets to continue to chase it. But this one was one that, if you were chasing it, this is one that could have got you back on top a little bit because it paid almost $4,000. And as you said earlier on the show, you know, the winners paid $780, $540, $560, $760, and $1,220. That's not unrealistic there that a regular guy could hit that. So anyway, I really can't explain the smaller than what you'd expect, except for what I've already said. And, you know, it continues to be something that horse players should look at, particularly when there's a carryover. 88 winners. So that's good news.
That's very good.
At least it was spread out amongst the, yeah.
Well, the thing that's got to be driven home, it paid $4,000, $3,997. The parlay was $683. You got to be kidding. I mean, three times the parlay, that's typical. Four times the parlay is fabulous. This was almost six times the parlay. I mean, it's astounding.
So it was unusual in that respect, and it was also unusual in the respect that it didn't get as much play as you would expect.
I'll give you two suggestions. I'll see what Marshall Graham says tomorrow. Last week, of course, you know, Thursday, you had that last card from Kentucky Downs. You had Churchill opening on Friday. And I just wonder if there wasn't a little bit of, there might have been a little bit of elasticity issue. I mean, after Kentucky Downs and you know, people just didn't go back to the well, you know, one more time on Friday. I mean, if this had happened to have been Saturday, I'm sure you would have had, you know, a bigger. What did Churchill handle on Friday? Do they publish? I can't remember if they do. They publish their.
I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. If this Stronach 5 has two Gulfstream races, two Santa Anita,
yeah.
You know, then you're in on the winner. You're already looking at Gulfstream. You're already looking at majority of players are looking at Gulfstream. They're looking at Santa Anita. To look at a Golden Gate race or a Laurel, excuse me, one or two from Laurel or Golden Gate is not asking a lot. But this past Friday, you're now asking, you know, the majority of players to look at, you know, four or five races that they're probably not going to look at. So I've got to look at four or five races outside of where I'm usually playing. And your point about Churchill opening Friday is important. You know, Churchill has this deep card and you know, it's attacked and Belmont's open, and that's where most of the attention is going. Now you're asking me to look at five different putts at the same time. The $100,000 carryover should have swayed some folks to do the extra work. But anyway, 88 people who did the extra work are happy.
Yeah, no, that's a nice distribution back out into the pockets of players. And then, as mentioned, we'll go through these. In fact, I'll see. Marshall didn't let me know. I said I could even be prepared to talk. I think I may have thrown them out. I may have had the ones from Prairie Meadows on Tuesday night too. No, because they're, you know what, Johnny? I'm gonna say that the dollar increment is involved in the handle element to this, because certainly Prairie Meadows, which, you know, doesn't have a high profile, but they handled what? I think they handled $500,000 on Tuesday night, right?
Yeah. Well, it was, again, now we're talking Tuesday night.
What else is going on?
Competition.
Yeah. Well, what the Friday's?
So when you're talking Friday. You've got Belmont, you had Churchill opening, you know, you've got stuff going on. So Tuesday, Tuesday night, you're probably sitting there saying, wow, what can I watch tonight? What's going on? You know, what can I play? And to see that carryover, it was easy to get involved because you weren't handicapping anything else. You weren't getting involved. You weren't spending money. You weren't getting involved somewhere else. It's easier to say, yeah. Let me handicap this card. Even though I know nothing about these horses, I can handicap this card and put in a ticket and take a shot because I'm going to be sitting here with the old lady watching TV and I need some action. So, you know, it makes it easier.
That's
On a Friday, well, you know, I've looked at Belmont. I've looked at Churchill. What else is going on? I have to look at five more races. Well, yeah, there is a carryover. But did Belmont have – did their pick six – when was their carryover start? Did it start Friday and Saturday? Is that when it started?
Yeah, sure. The whole – well, it they're doing the Empire.
Oh, they're doing the Empire. Yeah, okay. All right, I got it. Yeah. Never mind. That has nothing to do with it. I forgot they're doing the Empire. So, yeah. My mistake. Anyway, I guess the moral of the story is look for Stronach 5 carryovers.
And anytime, any of these end up being... and by the way, I knew I had it on my website. There was $1.8 million bet into that Prairie Meadows pick five, force out.
Yeah. And what was that carryover? That was like It was pretty decent, wasn't it?
I think it was at 300. It was 3.25, I think, going in.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. Yeah.
So
it's three times this one.
True. So, and a 50 cent and a 50 cent.
And a 50 and a Tuesday. So I'm not surprised that they did well, because I remember seeing, it pass across as news, force out, mandatory pick five, and I forget what I had going on Tuesday night, but it tweaked me. I for that one moment I said, I did one of those. I got something to do. I can't get to it, but. Yeah.
Well, I mentioned on Friday on the show, because I was disappointed that I had forgotten to bring the Prairie Meadows thing up on Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday morning. So I did make sure I mentioned the sequence, and I gave out the the race sequence on Friday, and I had it printed out, and I just ran out of racetrack. I mean, a certain amount. We also. Between the sale
But you only work 3 hours a day.
Yeah, that's me. That's exactly right.
And then you're
right.
Done. You got all this free time the rest of the day, and you don't golf. I know you. Oh, and Tina cuts the lawn. So what
she
do you
does cut the lawn. She's going to cut the lawn when she comes home today. Well, yeah, I agree. No, I was focused on the weekend action, and I didn't do it. Plus, I had our contest, the beat pick, and congratulations to Marie Carbonaro, who I'm pretty sure is in California. She and her husband Bud, they had five between them. She had three qualifiers, and husband Bud had two, and it was a crazy Saturday. Let's get to Saturday's results and get some thoughts from you, because it was really a case, Johnny, of the box cars that came in. You can only have so many of these kinds of $60, $80, $100 horses, but upon further review, like I said this morning, talking about El Tormenta, that is one of those horses you went back and looked and you said, good grief, why did I just, sometimes you gloss over horses, or you're so focused on the obvious players. I reached for a price, and the Silent Bowen was no good, but so I was open to a different idea, but the anatomy of some of the big price winners from the weekend, they were, in a lot of cases, they weren't the type necessarily that you just threw up your hands and said, I couldn't add that horse.
No, I agree with you on the Woodbine Mile result, El Tormenta. I mean, I guess everyone got drunk on Got Stormy and Raging Bull. Raging Bull, that's who I ended up thinking was going to run well. I had a little bit of a negative feeling about Got Stormy, and she ran fine. I don't think she ran as well as she had in her previous races. That the quick turnaround and the big race, or the trio of big races, including a quick turnaround from August 3rd to August 10th, that had me backing off of her at a short price. I was looking for something else to win the race. I thought, certainly she can run. She's going to run well. I just didn't think that she was worth it at the price. I thought it was a good idea to look somewhere else. And I got stuck on Raging Bull. I don't know if I did into the... I don't know. He hasn't been the same. He hasn't really... But he hasn't run poorly either. He needs a certain trip. I thought it would be a hot pace, which it was. I feel confident in that handicapping aspect. But he just had to make up too much in the end. Certainly he was bothered a little bit in the stretch, but he wasn't going to win. I'm sane enough to know that. El Tormenta, it just fell through the cracks. And as you said, here's a four-year-old, which I love to look for these improving type 4 year old. He'd run decent enough at the distance before. You had one of the top riders aboard. So, coming out of those sprints where he was closing, it wasn't terrible. I think what shocked me, and I think what shocked you most, is not that he was a long shot, but that he was 44-1. He was a $1.85 in the small field, six horse field. He was a favorite at $1.10-1 in his last two races. So this is not a horse that's been 20-1, but he should have been in this field probably 15-20-1. I mean,
that's fair.
I don't think he should be. He should have been 4-1. No. No, because there's other places you would rather go. And it was just a case of, which is why this darn game is so difficult and so wonderful and so frustrating. And you want to say perfect trip? He got a really, really good trip. Excuse me. He got to ride the rail early. He had just enough speed to be, close up, but not rushing, not hurrying, coming out of those sprints. And he had a look when the sea split for him and he got the run through, he was up to the task and he was fit enough to get the mile. And if Scott Stormy, if my analysis was correct, that she maybe was not going to fire her best race, and she maybe would feel the ills of running back quickly and winning like a monster that day at Saratoga, that she probably wasn't going to do that again. Okay, she's a cutoff. He's a cut, but and then you've got a case where you've got the Raging Bull coming from the clouds, and he had to go wide, and he just wasn't running well enough. He hasn't won since December, Hollywood Derby. So, yeah, this is how it happens, I guess. And the pace was hot up front, so it set up nicely. This is how it happens. And it's one of the ones that you look back and you say, oh, I get it. I see it. You got Eurico Da Silva, the top jock, 23% jock, and you say, oh, this horse has been knocking on the door and 44-1. No. This is the perfect example of why racing is a better gambling game than the NFL. Because you can have a horse like this. This horse is not impossible. This horse is not even crazy.
Right.
I was also thinking when the race was over, I was thinking, back in the days when we would sit at the racetrack at the table or whatever, the box or wherever you were, and the guys would like, who do you like? I like the five. Why do you like the five? Well, and they go through why they like the horse. You say, who do you like? I like the two. Why? And they give you all the reasons. Get out of here. You've got no chance. Well, listen. And then I like El Tormenta. He's gonna sit on the rail. He's got enough speed to be close. If he gets lucky and he gets through, he's one win in one place. He can handle the distance. He's already won at the distance over this course. He's 44-1. What? Yeah. 44-1. You're kidding me. That's the kind of thing that you miss nowadays. Playing at home, playing alone, you don't get that same interaction with the guys at the table. Now, that's where Twitter and some of the other social media pipelines can help, because there are some very intelligent people, sharp handicappers, who share their opinions on social media, on websites, on, ADW services, wherever, There is information out there. And this is exactly the kind of horse that if you were listening to someone handicap the race and they pointed to this horse, which I guess the guy in the program at Woodbine,
yep.
His name escapes me and I'm very sorry. But do you know his name? I can't give it
a prop. Oh my gosh, Doug. I want to say Doug McPherson.
I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but I thought it was.
I want to say Doug McPherson. I believe.
And it was tweeted out after the race, but he had this horse on top, not third. He had him on top.
Well, Tommy Massis gave the horse out repeatedly. In handicapping seminars, he did a thing with Pete. He did something else, and a couple others too. And on the third graph board, two of the players said, "You know, this is a horse who's been dirtied up because of bad trips, and has been competitive. With this group, I reached for Silent Poet, who I thought was going to be a fun price, and was going to get a good, up close stalking trip, and he came up empty. But it." There was plenty of reason to try, something creative, and so you just got to be. Yeah. You just have to be open to it. That's the message here.
If you thought God Stormy might react from those big efforts earlier this year, and if you thought Raging Bull was not quite where he was before, and then that he was going to have a rough trip coming from far back, if you thought those two things. The race becomes, go look for something crazy because that's what's going to happen. But that's why racing is a great game because you can get 40-1. You know how good you have to do in the NFL to get, betting the NFL to get 40-1? You got to parlay like 8 days or something. I don't know.
Well, Johnny, I got Doug. We're going to visit with Doug O'Neill, who had a good week. He won Thursday at Kentucky Downs, then came back takes the Pocahontas on Saturday. So we'll talk to Dougie. But finally, you fell asleep. So did Will, and I powered through and watched the game was fascinating. What time did you wake up this morning to go watch the rest of the game?
Well, I'm going to put an asterisk on my falling asleep. I fell asleep after we fumbled the second half kickoff.
Yeah, and, you see,
and we that was like it's like it reminds me of a jock. It was the race was over, the horse was just about ease, and the trainer said to the jock, "What happened out there?" And the jock, this is a Hall of Fame jock, said to the trainer, "Well, right out of the gate, I knew he wasn't going to try." So I thought, why should I try? So right out of the second half gate, I knew they weren't going to try. So I thought, why should I try? I'm going to bed. Went in bed. I fell asleep. I woke up at the end of that magnificent drive they had.
Yeah.
Down the field and scored the touchdown to take the lead. And I thought to myself, I am so proud of this football team. Even in defeat, I am so proud of this quarterback because he got his main guy. A lot of his main guys were injured.
Yep.
It looked like a mash core coming out of there. And he took a beating back there. He kept showing up. He's got the ribs. He's got the head concussion protocol, whatever. I don't know. Well, I don't know what the concussion protocol entails, but their mother was a line of guys waiting to get concussion protocol. You had to take a number to get concussion protocol.
It was like a deli.
The Atlanta Falcons showed up with savagery on their mind. There was so much great hitting in that game last night, and they wanted to win that game. They had a score to settle, and they settled it. But you know what? The Eagles did not give up. And I'm so proud of that team. You know they lost. They earned my respect in defeat. And again, Carson Wentz, in the first part of the game, after he got that rib whacked, he looked like he was, man, he looked like me throwing the ball.
Yeah, no doubt.
He came back, though.
Yeah, he did, and they all did. The defense styled it. The Schwartz pushed every right button. As someone who actually stayed up and watched all 3.5 hours, I can tell you that the parts you might have missed, and Will too. I was very disappointed to get the text this morning at 5:30 from Will that he got up early to watch on DVR. That very disappointing, but it's all right. Yeah. That's all right. That's all right. We're going to love for brunch on Sunday.
Yeah, I dozed off. I missed a little bit. But I'll tell you this. Schwartz, not Will, the other one, the guy who coaches for the Eagles. He went after Matt Ryan, who went to my high school, by the way. Went after Matt Ryan with blitzes, and it paid off, and it worked, and it was great, and it shut him down. Until it didn't.
Well,
if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And the man-to-man coverage, they ran the pick, and they got Jones free, and it was lights out. And that's what happened.
I'll bring up a variation of this with Doug O'Neill next. But of course, one thing certainly was evident yesterday, and I don't know, Johnny, how much of you might have seen the tweet. Occurred to me yesterday. I couldn't, as I'm thumbing around, I found some tweet from the official, the NFL officiating Twitter feed, where they had some guy explaining the official. Official rule interpretation.
I saw it.
Yeah. Well, another instance where a central league office, a governing body with uniform rules nationwide, solves problems. Yeah. Just in case you've bought into that nonsense that having a central governing body is the solution to everything.
Well, when the NFL, when they said we're going to go to replay, and it's going to help, with calls and everything. I said,
run the other way.
We've had replays for 50 years, and it still doesn't work.
Exactly. We're going to make it better.
at some point, somebody's got to say, "This is what make the decision."
Yep.
This is what I see.
Yep.
Yep. 10 other people could see something different, but this is what I see, and this is what's going to happen. And that's the decision. So if it happens real time, or it happens in replay, or at some point, and half the people are going to be angry, and half the people are going to be happy, or somewhere a mix of that, and that's the way it's going to go. But now with this pass interference replay thing, it's opened up a completely new can of worms. It's crazy, but you know what? I feel like that guy in Brokeback Mountain. The NFL, I can't quit you. I tried to quit. I can't quit you.
I can't watch too many. I don't watch anything else other than really than the Eagles. But, I'm just amazed. I mean, even last night, taking the 2-point conversion off the board for that insane interpretation of a quarterback diving, like a quarterback diving for the goal line is the same as a quarterback that scrambled and is diving out in the field of play. There is, just as we learned last week, there's a lot to be said for common sense and the application of interpretations using common sense. Johnny, I will see you Saturday afternoon.
You will. I'm looking forward. I had a whole discussion about Liz Frank foot injuries that I was going to go through with you, and we never got to it. So
you can save that. You can keep that in the green room. Put that in the reserve. Put that in the Johnny D topic reserve bank.
All right, you got it. I look forward to seeing you, and have a great trip and a great Pennsylvania Derby coming up. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Johnny D, everybody, let's take a break. When we come back, Doug O'Neill, then Nicole Russo, and then Doug Salvatore, everybody's favorite, will go to Erie. He'll talk about the Masters, and how his jocks have done this Presque Isle season with weeks to go in the meet, and the Cleveland Browns, because you can't talk to Dougie without hearing about the Brownies. Back after this with Doug O'Neill.